From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Counter-protesters driving vehicles into crowds of police reform protesters has been recurring all summer, including a tractor-trailer on a highway in Minneapolis and a police SUV on a New York City street. It has happened locally too, including an incident August 21st when a car on River Street in Troy and a motorcycle off Route 32 on July 18th in Greenville in Greene County. David Howard King reports for 518 Independent that the driver of the Troy car, who was recorded driving his car through a crowd of protesters on August 21st, is under investigation at his workplace. The Office of Child and Family Services says it is conducting an, and I quote, internal investigation, end quote, of Robert Spinelli, who has said he was trying to get to work during that protest. A spokesperson for OCFS would not verify or debunk the claim. A recording shows Spinelli revving the engine of his black Dodge Challenger, spinning his tires, and then accelerating through the protesters. Protesters reported only minor injuries in both the Troy and Greenville incidents. King reports it is unclear whether Troy police are investigating the incident and police in Greenville took no action with the motorcycles. Meanwhile, in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis on September 21st proposed a law to legalize running over protesters. If his proposal passes, drivers would not be liable for injuries or death, and I quote, caused if fleeing for safety from a mob, end quote. The USA Today reports there have been at least 66 incidents of cars driving into protesters between May 27th and July 6th this year, Tallahassee Democrat reports. Melanie Lakachevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Construction on the new Stewart shop on West Bridge Street in Catskill has been put on hold pending further review following the collapse of the building's wooden supports last week. Village President Vincent Seeley said inspectors from the Occupational Safety and Health Administration examined the site September 20th. Seeley said OSHA determined the collapse occurred because, and I quote, the trusses were not shored up fully, and we had high winds that day. It was a combination of the two that caused the mishap, end quote. Catskill Village Code Enforcement Officer Michael Regani said work on the building will likely resume in a few weeks. Regani said the company has been cooperative. At Regani's request, a third-party engineer has reviewed and assessed the project and is now preparing a report. One worker, an employee of Miguel Perez Construction and Landscaping, was hurt in the collapse last week. The unidentified worker was transported to Columbia Memorial Hospital following the incident, but was released the same day. Company owner Miguel Perez said, and I quote, he's okay, he's back on the job, end quote. Under the original plan, construction was expected to be completed by early October. A Stewart spokesman said the structural collapse will likely push the date to mid-November. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Steve Hughes is reporting for the Times Union. The city of Albany is starting a new tree planting program to replace trees lost to invasive species and climate change. The 2025 Trees Initiative has a goal of planting 2,025 trees over the next 5 years. An element of the program gives residents, businesses, and community organizations the opportunity to adopt a tree or donate to ensure that trees are planted in neighborhoods where the city's forest is most at risk. The city estimates it has lost at least 1,000 trees since 2008, especially in the South End, West Hill, and Pine Hills neighborhoods. The Albany Parking Authority and Albany Housing Authority are providing financial support in order to plant new trees around their properties. Information about the program is available at adoptatreealbany.com. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. Alicia Snyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Hudson Common Council will conduct a public hearing via Zoom on the city's proposed short-term rental law at 5 p.m. October 13th. The measure would amend the city's code to regulate the use of short-term rentals in the city, making it possible for short-term renters to operate if the owner is a Hudson resident. Non-Hudson residents would be permitted to rent fewer units for a maximum of 60 days out of the year, at the same time be required to reside in the unit for at least 50 days out of the year. At its September 15th meeting, the Common Council voted to air the law at a public hearing. Hudson Common Council President Tom DiPietro said, and I quote, "After much comment from the council members and the public, we now have a law that is clear and relatively simple. It's been a long and enlightening process, and fairness was almost a foremost consideration. The purpose of the public hearing, like all public hearings, is to allow citizens to voice their opinions, pro and con," end quote. After the hearing, the city and the county planning boards must each review the proposed law before the council considers it for a vote. Once the council receives and considers the feedback from the planning boards and the public, members will formally vote on the law. Mayor Kamal Johnson will hold a public hearing after the council holds a formal vote and before Johnson either signs or vetoes the measure. He declined to comment on the legislation until after the council votes. Editor's note, DiPietro and Johnson are active WGXE volunteer programmers, and you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXE Daily News. Local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.